we continue with Samuel and David. And today's lesson, I thought, was, I don't know, really, not going to, we're going to use scripture, but the question comes up, can you have freedom without having accountability? There are consequences to your actions. Mm-hmm. And are there pros and cons for being held accountable for your actions?
Sometimes your actions are somebody else's fault.
Is it some always?
So why should I be held accountable for something that somebody else did?
Yes, Susan did.
Mm-hmm.
So why should I be accountable?
All right, she made me do it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's right.
It
sounds like
grandchildren. But I got to thinking that it's kind of towards the end of the lesson, but we understand and we know God will forgive us for our wrongdoings, forgive us for our sins. My question is, and maybe this is not a good question, is it a good thing to always forgive someone of their sins if they don't change?
It's hard to forget.
Mm-hmm.
But he does that for us. I mean, we know that we are, if we ask forgiveness in the right way, we're forgiven. But if I go back and do it again, I can go back and ask forgiveness. We know that we are, but it has to be a change in our heart when we ask for forgiveness.
Because we know the story, we know where David is now, and the lesson kind of talks about or is focused on David and Bathsheba. And we know, quote, let's say the story there or what happened there. But questions come about that. Was David just at the right place at the right time when he saw Bathsheba bathing on top of her roof? Or was Bathsheba trying to tempt David? We don't know those things. Was Bathsheba unhappy in her marriage? Or was she just doing something that she thought would just be enjoyable to do? I'm just going to go outside and bathe. I'm not going to worry if anybody can see me.
You think she was lonesome?
Well,
I mean, her husband wasn't.
He was a soldier.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. No, but did it give David an excuse to do what he did?
No.
No.
He had a larger responsibility to be right. Yeah. We don't know the time frame. How long has she been by herself? You know,
it might just, well, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, I had a husband that was gone, months and months and sometimes over a year at the time. But I didn't go out in the job.
Turn.
Sometimes it got kind of hot.
I think we also don't know. We don't know her, what her routine was anyway. This might have been something she did all the time, and maybe David just.
That's what I
wonder. Yeah.
We don't know what.
Or she might have been from the country, and that was what she.
That was. Well, the palace, would be the tallest building in the city, and he could view and see.
She wasn't worried about it.
And we're quick to say in our society today, it's really not anybody's business what I do on my property and my yard, blah, blah, blah. And so you don't know,
Mm-hmm.
But of course it is when your neighbors are right next door, but people in this day and age don't mind letting you know real quick that it's not your business.
Yeah, that might have been the way they did it, you know.
Yes,
she
just
wasn't thinking about somebody being a
But the writer kind of points out or brings out, no matter what went on, what happened, why it happened this way or that way, David wasn't paying attention to his duties. And he made a mistake. Like he says, in short, he committed a terrible series of sins. And that's the story. That's what happened. But Nathan comes to David, and we don't know if this story is true or not, but he tells him this parable about the rich man who has a large flock of sheep. And this poor man, they have one poor little sheep, and they have raised it from birth, and it eats with them, it sleeps with them, and it stays in the house with them. And the rich man is going to have a big feast. So instead of taking one of his flock to prepare, he takes the poor man's sheep for the feast. So David, question comes across from Nathan, is, what should this man do? What should the rich man do now? And David tells him he must pay for that, let's say that one lamb, he should pay it back four times. That was David's thinking. But then Nathan shocked David. Told him, he said, you're that man. You're that rich man. Look what you've done. Do you think David was taken back? Or was he just, well, you know, I'm the king. God appointed me. God led me to this place. And now I've committed a sin, a problem. But now you're telling me that I'm just as guilty as this man who took one lamb? What do you think was running through David's mind?
But he was probably appalled that somebody's referring it to his attention. Here again, it wasn't Nathan's business.
Mm-hmm.
But as a friend, and I've seen that Nathan loved David. So we've all been in places where we've had to say things to people that we really care about, and you really don't want to say things to them. But sometimes, I mean, evidently the Lord laid it on Nathan's heart to approach. Why didn't he just
look
well enough alone?
Why didn't he? That took a lot of courage to go to the king.
The king could have had his head. He could be beheaded. He could be in prison. Mm-hmm. Because it was the king. It's kind of like in the real world today, if you approach your boss about something, in some cases, he has the right to fire you on the spot, and there's, you know, you have to move on.
Would you agree that all of us have built in our character, as the writer brings it out, an innate sense of justice?
We have a conscience.
We have beliefs. We all know right and wrong. What one person brought out is we can pick up our Facebook or pick up something and read a story about someone who has lost their job or done something wrong, and it's caused circumstances in their life, and we're quick to judge. That's just human nature.
We see that in the political world every day. It's not okay. It's a news and they're constantly bringing it up. So what if the man has the one that's changed, and it's made, they've made a change in their life and their thinking. They've asked for forgiveness, and they're trying to move on, but yet still we won't let them.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like David. Did Nathan go to tell him that? Because we didn't know, you don't know if David was, if that was going to be a habit for David after Bathsheba, if he's going to find another one, or you know.
But being that way, do we stop and examine ourselves before we judge someone else?
Well, no.
No.
I mean, it's easier to look at somebody else.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm the only perfect person.
That's
you're the one
that's right.
So
mm-hmm.
That's human nature, even though we all know there was only one perfect person.
Because verse in Romans 12, verse 30, chapter 1, verses 22 through 32, it just says, therefore any one of you who judges is without excuse. For when you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you, the judge, do the same thing. But when Nathan told David, you're that person, and like I said, we know David is in the highest position in that country right now, but he's reacted in the wrong way. But in 2 Samuel 12, 9 through 12, it says, why then have you despised the Lord's command by doing what I consider evil? He told him, you struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You took his wife as your own wife. You murdered him with the Ammonite sword. Now therefore the sword will never leave your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah to be your own wife. This is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on you from your own family. I will take your wives and give them to another before your very eyes, and he will sleep with them in the broad daylight. You acted in secret, but I will do this before all Israel and in broad daylight. Is that too harsh of words? Would somebody look at that and say, you know, why would a loving God cause this to happen now to David? It's punished. He's guilty.
David should have known better in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you look out there, you see something look good, that doesn't make you act.
Right.
You know, so he sinned back. He acted on it. He might not have, the lady might not have been her fault. She just out there doing something. So he happened to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked good to him. Then he had to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Which was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's his fault. He deserved everything he got. I believe. Now, that's the way I believe it. I mean, you know.
But
then
you also need to remember, too, look at all the lives that have affected.
Well, yeah.
I mean, look at the people. Not only, it was just, he was David and Bathsheba, so it was just going to be their little thing. But then the more you read, and then you just start thinking about, look, all the lives it touched, the families it touched, mm-hmm. I mean, the children, if there were children involved,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and there's your parents. I mean, it just got, anything you do like that affects, not, it just, you can't keep everything a secret. And David probably thought, between the two of them, they could get away with it. And then it just exploded, and then look at all the lives that it did touch and how it affected them. We see that every day in people's families.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of him sensing what he did was wrong, he did worse.
Yes.
It was like a domino effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
You cover it up, and then you have to cover that up. And
it's snowballed.
Yeah. And so if he had maybe, you know, I don't know, but maybe if he had stopped when he realized what he'd done with Bathsheba.
But
then he went and had his husband
killed. Did you just stop at? Look how the Lord had blessed him since he was a kid, you know, and killed Goliath. All the way through that, the Lord just blessed and blessed and blessed. He knew best.
Enough is not enough.
No.
I want more.
I always wonder how he would have felt if Jonathan was still living, because they were best friends. How would Jonathan have reacted to seeing
Never did.
You know, I mean, because you don't, we in the real life, we never want to, we don't want to embarrass your parents. You know, that type thing. And I wonder how Jonathan would have felt if he had been there instead of Nathan. Would Jonathan have stepped up and told him, you're my best friend, but.
But prior to that, you know, David brought Uriah back, you know, thinking, well, he'll come home and be with his wife, and then I'll send him back, and then everything's going to be okay. But Uriah wouldn't even go stay with his wife. Now, did he have knowledge of something that had happened, or was their relationship already broken? We don't know those things. Or did he sense something had happened? And he wanted no part of that. But he ended up dying. Because the story, as it goes, I mean, it tells us, if you really think about it, it says no one, and least of all a believer, gets away with sin. You might trick yourself thinking, nobody's going to see me, but it's there with you. But as the story goes, I mean, it's not short, but the things that God promised did happen later on. Absalom was ruler. He took David's wives, did what the Lord said they were going to do. The child that was born to David and Bathsheba, he died. Now, would that right there not be words enough to David or example enough that I really know now the Lord's in control? Do you think, I mean, David responded in verse 13 to Nathan. He said, I've sinned against the Lord. And then Nathan replied to David, and the Lord has taken away your sin, and you will not die. It says, however, because you treated the Lord with such contempt in this matter, the son born to you will die. Is it too little, too late? Can David make amends? Because this writer points out, and if you look into it and think about it, he said that the matter of David's guilt could have been resolved quickly. But we should remember that the Bible often gives us just a brief summary, compressing events, and not giving much more to the detail. So we really don't know David's mindset, his total suffering. We just know the steps or the points that are brought out. But David in Psalm 51, and I won't read the whole thing, but it says, the little notation that after Nathan had come to him, David said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Now I won't read the whole thing that's going through, but could you take from this, David maybe is, I know he's dealing with the guilt, but the aftermath may be a matter of depression. He is just at his lowest point. And he's asking God to wash away his guilt. We see and we learn that he is you could say, you think he's heartbroken now? I mean, look at what I've caused, maybe not to another family, but now my family is going to be punished, all because of me. But how does it make you feel that he was forgiven, the family survived, but then Solomon, another son of Bathsheba, would take the throne?
You know, we know the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
So he took a child away from her, to go to Solomon. Of course, you know how Solomon was. And in today's society, we do give people other chances. You get a second chance for a lot of things. You get a second chance on your health, a job, a relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord doesn't. He's not a second chance person, but he, I believe that he gives, puts people and things in our lives that helps us to make better choices, so we do have a second chance.
Mm-hmm. Because have you ever worked at a place or been involved where you had to be accountable for not only your actions, but let's say you were responsible for the flow of money? Did anybody ever come and check behind you? And you think about, and we see it in today's world, people who embezzle money. Are there not any checks and balances in place? But in the end, like here, a red flag comes up and somebody checks behind you and sees where you've taken money from this company for a number of years. Is, at that point, is that a minor sin in that person's life? A major sin? Can they be forgiven? I would say yes to those answers. But going forward, what is their life going to be like? If I do that and I go and apply for another job somewhere, situation like this, and then they check my background, oh, you were fired because of embezzlement. You'll never be able to get back into that place.
There was a situation here that happened too long ago about this woman made a statement that she was in a job, that there was no accountability. If she wanted to take the money, she could. She would never do it. Within 6 months after she made that statement, she committed suicide because she was caught embezzling. And so she committed suicide.
Because, question, are sins ever really secret? Because like that, she knew I've been wrong and I've admitted my guilt, but then look, you know what happens to her. But think about this. It says, like, unlike many people, David did respond to the confrontation of his sin with Nathan, and he did have complete repentance, but he didn't deny it, or he didn't have any excuses. So the writer asks, or points, brings this out: should we analyze whether God's forgiveness was also immediate and complete? I would say his forgiveness was immediate in his life, but the completion part of it, that stayed with David the rest of his life.
We've all had people in our lives that we trusted, really trusted, and then something happens and they break that trust. One, you either never trust them again.
Mm-hmm.
To be comfortable to even think you can trust them. And so that's like, you know, David. I mean, who trusted David after the mess he got himself into? And what did his kingdom think? What did the people in his kingdom, you know, it's kind of like with politicians today. They start off, somebody will start off good, and then all of a sudden something will happen, and it turns bad, and then we lose faith in our day-to-day mankind.
Mm-hmm.
So did the people do that with David?
Because I thought in Psalms 51, verse 9, David says, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity." See, do you think David's telling God, you know, I know I've done wrong, but take my image, take my face away from you. Don't judge on me, you know. Don't praise me anymore. But, Ms. Lee.
It's so good to be back. I want to thank everybody for their prayers and for the cards. Thanks for sweet. Do you have anything else?
Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.